Our beloved congregation, title of our sermon this afternoon, Life Under the Scroll, Life Under the Scroll. I wonder if you've ever had that experience where you've looked up in the sky and you see an aeroplane traversing the clouds, and there behind the aeroplane is trailed a banner with some very large letters written there so that you can see them from the ground. Eat at Joe's for fine dining. Donald Trump for president? You get the idea. Well, in the night vision, the sixth night vision, we're looking at God's Word, which is this vast banner of truth that appears in the sky. That's our first point, the banner of truth. It's an airborne banner, a very large object, 30 feet long by 15 feet wide. Some have seen in these dimensions the similarity between the porch of Solomon's temple, which was the same kind of size, and where the law was usually read. However, it seems that the large size of this banner, this scroll flying through the air, is there to portray the seriousness of God's Word and its visibility for all those who live under it. It's unusually large, isn't it, for a written document, big enough to read from a distance. It's a picture, really, of God's authority over the land, over His people. And the covenant community is being called to give account for their sins, in particular, lying and swearing falsely. It's interesting when you read history and you realize that many of the sorts of troubles that we suffer from in the 21st century in our economy, with variable exchange rates and rapid inflation, were present there. There was a great commodity inflation taking place in the Persian Empire at this stage, and it was crippling the economies. And so people experienced widespread financial difficulty, and that was being compounded by those who were deceitful and lied and stole from others. And when we think about these sins in the lives of people, we recognize that social evil affects not only those around us when we lie to other people or steal from them, but it's a sin against God Himself. And so God puts out this flying scroll. It's open. It's there for everyone to read. It's a large placard, about 10 meters by 5. It hangs over the people, calling them to account. It reminds the people that when He gave them His law, He called them to the blessing and prosperity which would come from following the law, or the curses and disaster which would arise if they broke that law. Really, what God is saying here is the people cannot expect to be there in the presence of God if there is sin in their lives which is unconfessed. That's the simple message of the vision. They were being reminded that right living is a necessary consequence of following the Lord. So we heard this morning that God was promising to rebuild Jerusalem, the super city with an expanding population, you remember. There was to be this influx of people, an immigration of people from all the nations coming in to expand the population. However, as we heard briefly this morning, there would also be a sending out, a deportation, an exiling, if you will, of those who willfully sinned because of their unholiness, their wickedness, their ungodliness. These things have no place in the presence of God. And so the law containing these covenant curses hung over the people for them all to read, informing them of the standard of truth. That's really what we do in our worship service, is it not? We have the reading of God's law, and it comes and it's over us as a banner of truth, calling us to account, calling us to the standard God calls us to live to. We know that the Word of God, and I'm quoting here from Hebrews 4, the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. And so it is that when we hear the Word of God, in the church service or elsewhere in our lives through the week, there are really two possible responses. Either it troubles us because we see the disconnect between the standard that God sets in His banner of truth and the way in which we are living, thinking, our attitudes, our thoughts, or else we hear the word and it really doesn't disturb us at all because it hasn't penetrated to convict us of our need for God's grace again. And so this banner of truth in the vision reminds us of the importance of God's word over our lives, not only in our worship services, but also every time we study that word together, every time we meet for fellowship and prayer. How sad it is, and I know a number of you have had this experience where you're, say, on holiday, and you go and worship in a church in a place that's close to where you're staying, and you sit in the church service, and you're waiting, aren't you? Waiting for when the Bible will be opened. Waiting for when God's word will be read, and you listen, and you listen, and the whole service goes by, and maybe someone tells a bit of a story. The pastor might tell a joke. There might be a video on the screen. But the word of God is never opened. How sad it is when people regularly and routinely in Bible studies don't actually study the word and never open it. How sad if when we gather for prayer, we don't also open the word. Congregation, the Bible is more than theology. It's more than the account and revelation of who God is and what He's done. It is those things. But it is God's holy standard for how we are to live. And it is only when we strive to please Him according to this banner of truth which He sets over us as His people, only when we strive to fulfill that law that we realize how much grace we need, how much we need His forgiveness. Only then that we understand and grow in the joy that by His grace we are part of His kingdom. The precious privilege of being a member of His church. These are some of the functions of God's banner of truth as it hangs over God's people. Secondly, the deserved destruction. This is a dark passage. That's a dark vision. The angel is describing this flying banner of truth as a curse that is going out over the whole land. A curse for the people. And this references God's law, particularly the covenant curses that we heard in Deuteronomy chapter 28. And we purposefully heard, as Brother Roy read, the blessings set aside the curses. God always sets both pathways before His people that they may see His truth and grace. And so we read, the Lord will send on you curses, confusion, and rebuke in everything you put your hand to, until you were destroyed and come to sudden ruin because of the evil you have done in forsaking Him. And we have to be careful in terms of how we apply this practically in our lives, but I think most of us have had the experience either personally or we've observed the lives of others where we've seen a life which is consistently lived away from the Lord. And it doesn't seem to matter how hard the person strives to set things right, it's just disaster and difficulty, often one after another. Again, I'm not saying that's always what we see. But there is a pattern, is there not, of blessing for those who follow the Lord and curses for those who don't. And so in this vision, symbolically, the scroll is filled with God's word, both on the front and the back. Both sides contain the word of the law. The penalty is written on the flying scroll. Every thief will be banished, and everyone who swears falsely will be banished. That word banished, you see in the translation there, has the sense of being purged or cleansed out, of being deported, of being removed from the promised land. And hopefully you see here the link from the passage this morning where we saw how God was going to bring in the nations into His super city that He is building. Here, those who have broken the covenant are to be removed, are to be cast out. Holiness cannot inhabit a place where there is unholiness. God cannot dwell with His people while iniquity remains with them. The two cannot coexist. And so we have in this vision destruction, promised symbolically as the curse enters the home, the house of the thief or the liar, destroying that structure completely, the stones and the timber. It's a stark reminder to us, and it was to the people there who had returned, that no unholiness has a place in God's kingdom. We heard of that, did we not, from the New Testament, as we heard 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. Again, when the banner of truth is flown over people like you and me, we are called to account by that word. We cannot, congregation, you and I, we cannot live immoral, idolatrous, greedy, intoxicated, lying, cheating lives, and expect to gain entrance into the new heavens and the new earth. Sadly, many people today believe that they will probably go to heaven because they've been really quite a good person. Surely God, they will think, will overlook that little white lie, that petty theft, that little bit of time shaved off the timesheet at work. Part of the message that must be proclaimed in the church, from the pulpit, but also from one of us to the other and to the world around us, is that it's a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. His standards are perfection. And so we see the picture here in the vision of the curse entering the home of the lawbreaker, breaking that home down completely, breaking it down. The force sufficient to reduce the timbers to splinters, the stones to rubble. And the effect of this curse, you see, ultimately, is to remove the sinner, to banish the sinner from the presence of God. That's the picture that this vision is giving to us. And that place of separation is a place that, sadly, some have tried to define away, say it doesn't really exist. It's called hell. And so the purpose, you see, of this vision is to warn the people so that they will look at the banner of truth above their heads and cease stealing and lying. It's a somber vision that comes to the people. But the text in 1 Corinthians 6 that we heard doesn't end there, does it? Continues with the wicked not entering the kingdom of God, but continues, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. And so it is that this sermon and our message this afternoon cannot end with that vision, but we continue to the second vision that is linked to it, the woman in the basket. The sixth vision, and this is our final point, the curse removed, the sixth vision ends with this picture of destruction. But it's connected, you see, to the next one, which portrays that woman in the sealed basket. 70 years of captivity in Babylon had the potential for the people to be cleansed from their desire to rebel. But impurity remained, as we can see. There were liars and there were thieves in that community that had returned. The prophet Jeremiah spoke of it and said, the bellows blow fiercely to burn away the lead with fire, but the refining goes on in vain. The wicked are not purged out. The purging of the exile, the 70 years, had not removed sin from the covenant people. It was still present. And so the people were deceiving themselves if they thought that merely rebuilding the temple would automatically lead to God pouring out his blessing upon them again. It'd be just like the stupidity of thinking that just by putting up another church structure at Cornwall Street means that God is automatically favoring us as a congregation. The vision is effectively a call to return wholeheartedly to the covenant It's a call to willing obedience. And we've seen that call coming through some of the earlier visions. And here it is again. So you'll recall from a few weeks ago that seventh vision, the image of that measuring basket that comes. This is the iniquity of the people throughout the land, the Lord says. It's all of the wickedness, all of the evil of the people. And it's there in this basket, represented by this woman who is called wickedness. And she's kept firmly enclosed in that basket by a heavy lead cover. There's no chance of that wickedness escaping to pollute the land again. You recall the two flying women with the large wings taking that basket of wickedness away, lifting it away, carrying it. And we remember we saw how it is God himself who removes the wickedness of his people from their midst, taking it away to that place, the land of Shinar, of Babylon, putting it in a house, a place of containment where it will remain secured forever. And we saw a few weeks ago how this picture of the basket being carried away points to the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And so, congregation, thieves, liars, the sexually immoral, idolaters, adulterers, male prostitutes, homosexual offenders, the greedy, drunkards, slanderers, swindlers, can inherit the kingdom of God, but only through the Lord Jesus Christ, when they accept that they've broken his perfect law. Can you see the beautiful truth of that banner that flies over, that people may see that they have broken that law? And as they look to the fullness of God's truth in that banner, they see, if they will but look, also Christ. And there they see the way of escape. And as they come to him and determine to strive and to struggle, not to succumb to their sinful desires, because they want to please God and glorify him in their bodies, then they show that they have saving faith and entrance into the kingdom of God. I wasn't there at the men's conference this year, but I believe Philip Jensen said something like this. He was asked a question: what would you say to a man who is struggling with same-sex attraction? And to which he simply answered, that's very good. And apparently the men's conference, there was quite a stunned silence. Good that he was struggling. Good that he was struggling. Congregation, are you struggling with your sin this afternoon? If you are, that's very good. It's very good. Because it shows that you're still looking at that standard of truth. And you're seeing the disconnect, as I see the disconnect, between that banner of truth and my own heart. Praise be to God that he flies that banner over us, that we might see our need of Christ. And so in this, just as we come to a close, I believe we see something of our mission as a church, that we are to fly this banner, as it were, of truth over the congregation, all of us, and over the world around us. We are to be willing, now listen and hear me out on this, we are to be willing to befriend thieves, to befriend liars, to get to know the sexually immoral, the idolaters, the adulterers, the male prostitutes, the homosexual offenders, the greedy, the drunkards, the slanderers and the swindlers. Why, you ask? So that we can point them to Jesus. Amen.